So life isn't a movie. I think when you grow up, you find that out. But Gerald Nadler and Adam Schiff, Democrats in Washington, chairman of the committees that introduced, basically compelled Robert Mueller to appear before them last week, they wanted it like a movie. They wanted 7 days in May. Instead, they got Dumb and Dumber and Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and it was rather depressing. But I'll tell you, if you want to keep that movie thing going, I'll tell you about a movie. Because if life were a movie, you'd have two people now, two old men in the woods, afraid. One would be John Brennan, former CIA, and the other would be Clapper, the national security boss under Obama. And they're walking in the woods on light snow, and you can hear the crunching of their feet. And all you hear them is breathing. And you can hear some hounds baying behind them. Maybe they step on a covey of quail or woodcocks or something, and the birds go booming through the trees. Because that's the next movie that's coming out of all this Mueller report. The last one, last week, you know what happened? It was a disaster. When David Axelrod and Lawrence Tribe say it was a disaster for the Democrats, guess what? It's a disaster. And yeah, you can imagine them in their commercial breaks on CNN and MSNBC lying on the ground, you know, curled up in the fetal position, like I said, breathing into brown paper bags. And then on the other side, I saw cheering and hooting, you know, President Trump puffing his chest up like the cock of the walk. And there were people on Fox, and they were all happy. And somewhere in between are the American people, and all they want is their government to be functioning. They don't want a crook, and I don't think they like a boor in office. So, President Trump, please watch the Twitter thumbs. And I don't think that's a good thing for a good look for you going into the next election. But the movie that's coming is the investigation of the investigators. The movie that's important, the story that's important, is that Robert Mueller and his people, including FBI's Inspector General Michael Horowitz, are walking the cat back. Where did all this start? And who's playing who? Was all this started by Putin to disrupt our country? Aided by anti-Trumpers? Was it started by Brennan and Clapper? I need to know. I mean, maybe you don't want to know. Maybe just put a bag over your head and let's go listen to some ball games. But I need to know. I need to know what really happened. And is there any accountability for what happens to us and our country? Because, like it or not, the left and the right agree on one thing. We're pretty close to losing our republic. If there's one thing that they both agree on, it's that. And I don't think that should happen.
The president was falsely accused of conspiracy. The FBI does a 10-month investigation. And James Comey, when we deposed him a year ago, told us at that point they had nothing. You do a 22-month investigation. At the end of that 22 months, you find no conspiracy. And what's the Democrats want to do? They want to keep investigating. They want to keep going. Maybe a better course of action, is to figure out how the false accusation started. Maybe it's to go back and actually figure out why Joseph Mifsud was lying to the FBI. And here's the good news. That's exactly what Bill Barr's doing. And thank goodness for that. That's exactly what the Attorney General and John Durham are doing. They're going to find out why we went through this three-year saga and get to the bottom of it.
Time of the gentleman has expired.
But that's international and national. And you know what? All politics is local. Joining us today, of course, as always, my friend, master baker, goalie keeper, Jeff Carlin, executive producer of The Rokon Show with Anna DeVellantis. And coming up, we're going to have two great guests, Jeannie Ives, retired military officer, mom of two soldiers, pilot and a ranger, and she's running for Congress in the western suburbs. But first, retired judge Sheila O'Brien, Kim Fox's bleepin' nightmare. Judge O'Brien is the one who pushed for a special prosecutor in that Jesse Smollett fiasco. And she's coming on to tell us about a great idea she has. Not only an update, what's going on with the case and the whole fight over the special prosecutor, but what could we do about it? And I know what you're doing in your car or at your home, maybe in your vegetable garden. You got the earphones in your ear. Listen to us. You're on the Chicago Way. On WGN Plus.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
Now we're talking with one of our favorite guests on the Chicago Way, the woman who basically caused Kim Fox, state's attorney of Cook County, a supreme case of agita every time she reads her name. Retired Judge Sheila O'Brien, responsible for getting Judge Tooman to get a special prosecutor in the case of Jesse Smollett. Give us an update, Sheila.
An update. Judge. Yes, you can call me Sheila. The update. So last Friday, well, actually, let's go to last Thursday. Last Thursday, Jesse Smollett's family was on People Magazine, and they were out on the shows and telling everyone how sad it was for Jesse and how wonderful he is. And if you can go to YouTube, you can see it. And so that was Thursday, kind of a media blitz by Jesse's family. And then Friday, Jesse's California Hollywood lawyers filed a plethora of motions here in Cook County.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were busy all weekend taking a look at those. And
but generally, what did they argue? They argued that you're biased, that Judge Tooman is biased. Maybe if you're going to put a special prosecutor, you don't want to have the special prosecutor should not investigate what Kim Fox did.
Right.
Which is, it's almost like they're doing Kim Fox a favor for cutting their client loose.
Right. They filed four motions. Were a motion to intervene.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a technical sense, Jesse Smollett is not a party to the effort to get a special prosecutor because it's not really about Jesse. It's actually about the performance of Kim Fox as the state's attorney. So they filed a motion to intervene. They filed a motion to strike Judge Tooman for cause. They don't want him to be the judge doing this. They filed a motion to release the grand jury minutes of the Osadario brothers. Those mm-hmm. are the people who, as you recall, are the fellas who Jesse has said are the people who beat him up or attacked him.
They're the Nigerian, not born, but I think here born here, but their parents are from Nigeria. They are bodybuilders, and they could have crushed Jesse Smollett with one of their abs.
And aspiring actors, too.
And it's right, aspiring actors, stuntmen. They worked on the show
Empire,
yeah. Right, Jeff? And
had a couple appearances there.
And Jesse made up a story that, or at least I think he made up a story. My opinion that he made up a story that he fought off the Osandario brothers, who wore MAGA hats with a tuna fish sandwich in one hand, his cell phone in the other, and he survived, which in real life would take about half a second.
Right.
And he wouldn't be the winner. So, yes, Judge. So,
and a motion to reconsider everything Judge Tooman did. So there weren't four things. They want to join in the lawsuit, the mm-hmm. motion for a special prosecutor. They want Judge Tooman to get off the case. They want the new judge to set aside whatever Judge Tooman did. And they want to have some transcripts of the grand jury in the criminal case disclosed to the public. The motions were kind of a They're a lot. They're a stream of consciousness motions, so it takes a lot if you're trying to respond to them to figure out where to start first.
Is that
That's
normal?
Legal cattiness that I just heard right there on the motions.
Is that normal though? To unseal a grand jury as part of a case like this? I mean, it seems like it's. I've never heard that happening, or every time I've actually heard it brought up or suggested, people are always scoff and say, "Oh no, you don't that grand. It would take apart our democracy."
Right, grand jury is. Testimony is very, 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 very rarely unsealed. Interestingly, in the motion, they said, well, we have the copies of it, but we want to publish it to the public. It's like, well, what is that about? And the reason they want to publish it to the public, and I commend these motions for your reading because they are rather interesting. The reason they do is because they're mad because everybody's saying bad things about their client, and they want to show that the Ossandario brothers are bad people. Well, that's what courts are for. You know, go to court and do that. But you're not going to try this case in the press. And that's what they're saying.
What's that gossipy show where they all sit around in their cubicles and the creepy guy like asks them?
Oh, TMZ.
Oh, yeah, yes. Right.
TMZ.
Yeah.
Harvey Levin.
Right? They want all that.
And so there's a lot. This is a very tangled web. So the interesting thing on let's reveal the transcripts of the grand jury is that the Garagos law firm wants to reveal those to the public. Well, the Garagos law firm has been sued by the Ossandario brothers. So do they have a conflict here? They're running into court and saying, we're here for Jesse Smollett. We want you to release the grand jury testimony of the Ossandario brothers to show how bad they are. Wait a minute. Are you doing this for your client? Or are you doing this for yourself?
Am I mistaken that in one of me, and perhaps I am, it's not the first time, that one of the aspects of these motions is to limit the scope of the special prosecutor.
Correct.
Well, tell me more about that.
Well, Judge Tooman's order said, I'm going to appoint a special prosecutor in the People versus Jesse Smollett, which was the criminal case, still is the criminal case, against Jesse Smollett, and expanding that investigation to what happened around that criminal case. Smollett's lawyers are saying, no, you can just look at what's happening around that case, but you can't look at our client's case. And so that's an interesting part. And as
meaning
you know,
you can't look at the client's case?
Right.
What does that mean?
They said, well, our client's case, Mr. Smollett's case, has been closed. To reopen it would be double jeopardy, and so you can't do it.
But wouldn't we want to know? Wouldn't the special prosecutor and the public, through a special prosecutor in the courts, wish to determine what exactly did Kim Fox do in terms of lobbying or not lobbying, and the question of Tina Chen and all the Obama celebrity friends, and who's going to call Eddie Johnson, and who didn't call Rahm Emanuel or did, all that, right?
Right. That's all going to come up because that's around the case. They're saying it would be double jeopardy to prosecute Mr. Smollett again. But my argument to that is that's premature. Let's get the special prosecutor who will look at that, determine if jeopardy has attached. If jeopardy hasn't attached, then that special prosecutor will go forth in that criminal case. But first, there's a bigger issue. And that is that Mr. Smollett's lawyers are not licensed to practice law in Illinois.
Dun, dun, dun.
Right. And so that's huge. So you always check to see that. They are licensed in California. They're licensed in New York. And in every state, if you go into the state's courts, you have to be licensed to practice there or ask the court for specific permission to do that. In Illinois, it's called Supreme Court Rule 707. Our Supreme Court has laid out what you have to do. They didn't do it for this case. It's not hard to do. They've done it before. They did it for his criminal case, but it ran out, and they didn't do it for this case, and you have to do it. You have to tell the court, and you have to pay your fee to practice law here in Illinois. And they told Judge Tooman that they were licensed. They signed the pleading saying, Rule 707 admitted, and they're not. So I sent a letter to Judge Tooman laying that all out for the record and saying, hello, they're not licensed. Everything they did in this case should be held for naught. It's not appropriate.
And that kind of circles back on the point of why they would unseal and want the grand jury testimony unsealed, because they have this case against them that they're being sued for essentially slandering the Osundario brothers, and they want to prove that they didn't. No, no, we had nothing to do with it. This was the part of the case. But in reality, it doesn't seem like there's anything there, and that's the only reason they're involved. It's because you said Smollett himself technically isn't really
a party,
in this. Right. Yeah, so yeah. It just reeks of just games.
It's a very tangled web. But let's go back to basics. A lawyer files a motion in a courtroom in Illinois. Is that lawyer allowed, that lawyer licensed to practice law in the state of Illinois? First thing you ask. Here, no. I think it's game over. You filed motions. You can't do it. The time has now run to file any of those types of motions. And I hope Judge Tooman sees it that way and says, game over.
And so if not, someone could appeal his ruling.
That's true, but the time to file a notice of appeal has run. State has not filed a notice of appeal. So please, God, I'm very rejoicing in that.
Sir, are you relying on the incompetence of lawyers for the state in Kim Fox's office? It looks like you are.
Well, you always rely on your opponent making a mistake or just not doing something you want him to do. I wouldn't have filed a notice of appeal if I were Kim Fox. Why get more bad press? I think that's a...
She doesn't... And her argument is what? Don't look at me?
Well, I think that's it. Yeah, don't look at me. Exactly. Don't look at me. And if I'm kind of surprised they didn't file a notice of appeal because it would have slowed all this down, but they didn't. Now, they may run in now. Who knows? I don't want to tell them what to do. They may run in and say, wait a minute, the filings of Mr. Smollett's lawyers, the Garagos Hollywood law firm, has stayed the time. I would say no, because they're not licensed to practice law in Illinois. So they're... motions did not stop the time running on the appeal.
And if this gets delayed, that would conceivably push us back into, say, a window of an election that may happen and someone may be running for re-election.
Correct. So you can see why I've been up since 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning thinking
so then
it through.
What's the, if you're the news editor on this story, what is the nugget here, the news nugget?
The first
because
one,
because Cass can, I can, you know, I'm basically asking you how should I write the column on this? Because it sounds interesting.
It is.
I've got all the details, the God bless John Cass stuff from Kim Fox and all the stuff, how she hates me and you. And, I could do that, but what's the nugget here?
The nugget here is it was a media blitz, not legal filings. It was a way to get Mr. Smollett back in the headlines. That's Sheila O'Brien talking. Because the motions are so off the wall. And they know they're not licensed to practice in Illinois. So they were trying to get some traction and get back in the headlines. Because their situation, they kept saying, he's the victim, he's the victim. Oh, okay. And that's their mantra. Are these really good motions? I'd say no. They're exhausting to read. There's nothing in them that sounds like lawyer talk. It's all media talk.
You were a judge for how long?
26 years.
And before that, you were a lawyer.
Correct.
I got to switch gears here a little bit. If you had a witness as your client, like Robert Mueller, would you have said you're not showing up and appearing in a national TV to be mocked?
I didn't watch the hearings because they're exhausting to me. I mean, I'm a reader. I like to see what happened afterwards, and then I'll circle back around. I think the public would rather, you know, get it done. Let's get it done. Let's get the answers and move forward. People want to move forward in every scope here. So
not me.
You don't want to move forward?
I
do.
Backward.
John.
Because they said there'll be a move, it'll be a movie. They said people don't read the book, meaning they'll read the Mueller report, which I did and which many people did. No, they want the movie. So they drag this poor guy out there. He's 80 years old.
So 74,
but a public servant, a man of honor and integrity.
And he enlisted in the military during Vietnam.
During Vietnam.
And why? Because one of his best friends from college got killed and he felt guilty about it. He went to Nam.
Nam.
Robert Mueller's a patriot.
Not only did he go to Nam, when he served, he was in the private practice. He left to be a prosecutor. He was a U.S. attorney. He was also director of the FBI days before 9/11, and he led that agency through a lot of changes.
Right.
A man of integrity. And then here he comes out and gets, they wanted him to be their movie, to parrot what they wanted him to say. He didn't say it.
It's sad to that's, you know, sad. And that's why I don't watch all that. I'd rather read it. I want to see. Robert Mueller is a patriot. And everybody's always said that the guy is a straight shooter and a good human being and a good guy.
I'm not going to speak to that.
You can't speak to that? After 22 months of investigation, there's not any evidence in that document before us that any voter changed their vote because of their interference. And I'm asking you, based on all the documents that you reviewed.
That was outside our purview.
Mr. Mueller, would you agree with me that the Attorney General does not have the power to exonerate?
I'm going to pass on that.
You know, you asked me last time who I think would be a great special prosecutor.
Yeah.
But I thought of another one today, Patricia Bobb, one of the first women to try a felony lawsuit in Cook County. She was a rock star prosecutor years ago, I think under, I don't remember who, but Patty's retired, I believe. Which brings me to another issue for you, because you asked about how is a special prosecutor situation going to work out. You want to talk about that?
Yes, please.
It's tough. We've got, apparently the Sun-Times reported that a couple of state's attorneys in the state responded to Judge Tooman. A couple of them said no. And why is that? Think about it.
They said no, or he said no?
They said no. And here's why. If you're in a smaller county, you don't want your state's attorney taking time away from your county. And,
right.
And you're in a downstate county, you're like, oh, that's Cook County. Let them handle it. They got lots of resources. We're right. Down here. We don't need their problems.
What's the citation? Was it said? We have a staff of five attorneys.
Right.
I just caught 10 thieves stealing my peaches off my peach farm.
But that's real.
Or something.
That's real. Right. You know, that's someone's livelihood, and that's what that state's attorney does. And their first duty is to their county, and they got to do the right job. So that's going to be tough, because you've got to have people whose counties are willing to let them go. It's not, think about it. The state's attorney might want to do it, but the county board might say, hey, we got a lot of zoning problems coming up or whatever. So I was thinking about, you just met my niece. My niece is sitting here. She's an enlisted person in the United States Army, out of high school, is serving her country, crawled through mud in basic training. And a lot of your listeners at home know this story.
Beautiful red-haired girl.
She is. And
also, she could kill you.
She could.
A soldier. Right.
But she makes our family so proud by what she's done for her country, giving of her country. And maybe this is an area where we say to the big firms in Chicago, step up for Chicago. There's a lot of great people in these law firms, and they would do themselves proud. I would hope they would get into a bidding war for who can do more volunteer time. And in this case, go to Tooman, say, here we are. Here's 15 of the biggest law firms in Chicago. We are going to band together so that not one law firm has to bear the cost of this, because it's going to be costly. And we will do it. We will bear the responsibility. We will do this for free. No more of this. Let's charge $1 million. Let's serve our country. Let's serve Chicago and volunteer our time.
What a great idea.
Step up, Chicago. I think there's great people out there who would do it.
But here's my problem, because I always think, you know, I always have to think ahead and think of, I put my, you know, terrier nose on, you know, so I could smell rats in the corners. And what if I can't have a lawyer who has any business with anyone who may have sought out Kimberly Fox or counsel, or I can't have a Tina Chen friend on my team.
Well, that's true. You don't. Any potential witnesses would be conflicted out. However, remember, this is not about Kim Fox. This is about the office of the state's attorney. That's a very different thing. This is not a personal vendetta against Ms. Fox. This is about the rule of law. How has this law been applied? It could be anybody sitting in the state's attorney's chair. So I don't think everybody would be conflicted out. And more importantly, if enough people volunteered their time, then you would have a lot of people who would be involved.
Watching.
Right. There are so many former prosecutors who've said to me, Sheila, I'd volunteer to help, but I don't know who to go to. And when you're retired, like I am, you don't have a staff. You don't have a typist. So let's see if big firms, I'm speaking to you, you know who you are. You do pro bono work. Do pro bono work for Cook County. You're you're based here, you depend on this county, do pro bono work for Cook County. If you're called upon, or take the initiative and call the chair people of all the good big firms in Chicago and get together and volunteer your time. Show the public that, like my niece, you will step up for your country and do it. It will hearten you, and you have the resources to do it. And then the retired former state's attorneys and judges can join you because they do it too. Right. People are good. People right. will volunteer if they know there's the opportunity, but they don't. Individual retired people don't have the ability to put this together. So I'm not telling Tooman what to do. Of course I wouldn't. Judge Tooman is a fabulous human being. This is his job. But let's give Judge Tooman more options. And let's give him the option where we don't spend any more taxpayers' money for special prosecutors. That's got to go. I think that charging $1 million, that's over. No
Are
more
you
of that.
Asking this formally in a letter, or is this just something we're talking
about?
No,
I just thought about it. You know, I've been thinking about it on and off, and I don't want to tell Judge Tooman what to do. Judge Tooman, this is his job. But it would. I'm telling the people, your listeners, and my former colleagues in these at the bar, come on, everybody, you're great people. Step up. Do it for Chicago. Show the world what a great town this is. And let's volunteer our time. Let's show the world we can do it. And if you get enough law firms to do it, the risk, money's minimal. You spread it out. Yeah, you spread it out. And
you could get some really
great experience.
Prosecutors coming in, retired, to do your to do some of the work, too.
Absolutely. And your young associates would love it. They'd have fun. And they learn so much about the criminal courts, which they're not going to get a chance to do if they're in a big firm necessarily. You got so many whippersnapper young lawyers at these law firms. They have a ball. So step up, Chicago. That's my motto. Step it up.
Judge Sheila O'Brien retired with another great idea. She wanted the special prosecutor. She got that. At least that ball is rolling. And she came up with this good idea, Step Up Chicago. I love it. And it's a column, too, so I love that, too.
You inspire me, John Cass.
Thanks, Judge O'Brien. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. Stand up. Have you ever been there? Stand up. Identify. Stand up. Tell us all about it. Stand up.
Testify. And now, on the Chicago Way, the woman who should have been governor of Illinois... Didn't happen, but she's now running for Congress in the western suburbs. Jean Ives.
Good to talk with you, John.
So how's the campaign going?
From our announcement speech, which was Sunday, to now, we've raised just a ton of money online already. I've got a lot of support. We've got hundreds of volunteers that have already signed up online to help. So we're very excited about this race.
It is an interesting race because it seems in the Republican primary, we're having like a redo in a way, right? It's Evelyn Sanguinetti, the former lieutenant governor who worked with Bruce Rauner, and versus you, or you versus them, for the Peter Roskam seat.
Yes, and Peter Roskam and his wife Elizabeth have fully support my efforts and have endorsed our campaign. So we're very excited for that endorsement, and we think that we've got the ability to really take on Sean Casten and to, you know, restore confidence in what's happening at the federal level. Sean Casten's wrong for the district, 100% wrong, and his big socialist policies will just destroy the 6th congressional district and what we stand for.
Yes, I would like him to comment on the Gang of Four that is controlling the Democratic Party now. They're all
well-dressed. He's not going to comment on them. He's fallen in with them.
I'm not going to.
He votes 98% of the time with Pelosi and AOC. So they're his comrades in charge, and they want to essentially change what we have built under the rule of law, you know, in the free enterprise system, and essentially just become a globalist nation instead of a nation state.
Now, Mr. Casten, if you're listening, and I'm sure your aides will listen, and so will Ms. Sanguinetti, you're all invited. I've talking to Jeannie now, but you're all invited to come on to the Chicago Way. We are ecumenical in our views. So let's proceed. Where's Sean Casten's weaknesses politically?
Well, politically, look, he believes in the urgency of the Green New Deal even as at the same time he says that he's rejects some of what she says. But the truth is he claims to be a climate scientist and wants to protect us from climate change. And now nobody disagrees with the climate change. Look, 1,000 years ago it was hotter than now. 2,000 years ago it was hotter than now. 7,000 years, same thing. It's what do you do to adapt to the current environment, knowing that really nature has its course rather than man-made global warming. And Sean Katzen's idea would basically just put more government regulations on the energy sector. And in the state of Illinois, we are an energy leader. So he would essentially destroy a large portion of our Illinois economy. And then after doing that, he thinks he wants to eliminate private health insurance. The health insurance that 180 people get from their employer, put everybody into Medicare for R, which would collapse the system. So, you know, it's just nonsense. It's just big government. And the core question here is, do you believe in freedom and the free enterprise system, or do you think more government equals more freedom? That's a question people have to ask for themselves.
And Jeannie, thanks for joining us again. I brought it up last time we taped with Kristen McQuarrie about the idea that from a 30,000-foot view brought Peter Roskam losing to Sean Kasten was the idea that Roskam was put out as, oh, well, he's this guy who did all this legwork for Trump in economics and in that district. That didn't fare particularly well, as we saw in the election results. How do you feel that's going to play against you?
So are you alluding to the tax cuts that spurred on the economic growth that we've seen over the last 2 years of 3% growth? If you're alluding to that, you know, Peter Roskam was heavily involved in the tax reform that led to this economic growth, then I'm all on board with Peter Roskam in that process. I mean, but for the Trump economy, would Illinois not be doing as good as it's doing? Because it's the Democrats that have destroyed the business opportunities here. And last session under Pritzker, they made it far worse. And unfortunately, Mayor Lightfoot's doubling down from, you know, her further mandates on business, including the latest saying that, you know what, the government now gets to decide how you schedule your employees. So big government regulations kill business opportunity. And fortunately, Donald Trump has reversed a lot of that and then gave corporate tax cuts to corporations so that they can invest more in the people and in their businesses. And so I'm all on board for that. And I just think that, you know, unfortunately, tax cuts, you couldn't visibly see it in your tax return prior to the election. And if you had, you would have thought differently of them, because the New York Times, even, I love this one, their headline was on an article was, look, if you didn't think you got a tax cut, you probably did. Because most don't even understand. They think that if their refund was less, that they didn't get a tax cut. It's just preposterous. People don't even understand their own tax return.
And to that point, I mean, there was a lot of good that Roskam was the architect of. And so by all accounts, he should have, in theory, you know, been a strong candidate. But Kasten came in on this left of left sort of mandate.
Kasten put Donald Trump around his neck. Is that going to happen?
Yeah, no, sure, they're going to try that. And I've been in Springfield for 6 years. You have to work with a lot of personalities. Some of them you don't agree with everything that they say, but you still work with them. But I support Trump policies on, you know, closing the border, changing our asylum laws, protecting citizens, increasing defense readiness, which doesn't always have to mean increasing the defense budget, by the way, but increasing the defense readiness. I agree with him on tax cuts. I agree with him on being tough on China. I agree with him on getting out of the Paris Climate Accord, which is something that China was never even a subject to. And they're the biggest polluters in the world, not to mention CO2 is really not a pollutant. So, I mean, I agree with him on a lot of the core policies. And, if you know, I'm not Donald Trump and he's not me. And that's just the truth.
Jeannie, I'll tell you where I disagree with Donald Trump. The fellow I wanted to be president is Rand Paul. I just wanted, I'm pro supporting our military, but I'm not pro supporting kids with their boots on the ground in order to sell, you know, weaponry. I just don't like it. I think there's been a lot of mistakes in that field, particularly in the Middle East. So I was for Rand Paul, and then here comes Donald Trump and sucks that oxygen out of the room, too. Now I see Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who are around Donald Trump, not Mike Pompeo and legitimate, but I see Bolton, people like that. And anybody who was with the neocons, I have a really hard time dealing with. And I see Bolton out there playing this game, you know, his guy playing this game. And I just, I get, it's like, you know, I just crossed the icy river. You know, it just bothers me.
Yeah. No, I have skin in the game. My one son, the Army Ranger, just exited the military. His name's on a list if anything really happened. And my other son is a Navy pilot. So the last thing I want them to do is to have to go into a needless war unprepared. So the number one thing Donald Trump understands is that deterrence is only effective if it's backed up by a strong military that's ready and trained and can go at it and has the best technology and, you know, the sophisticated weapon system so that you can hit the enemy from afar and save lives. That said, boots on the ground are the only way that you can hold ground. Absolutely. The infantry's entire job is to hold ground until you can get a diplomatic solution. That is their job, is to take and hold ground. However, I don't want boots on the ground. No way. Not for Venezuela, not for Iran. We're going to, and so there's a difference between who he selects for on a diplomatic corps mission, who he selects as his military leaders. And so we'll see how this happens, but, I don't think that Trump is an aggressive, militaristic guy. I just don't see that in him from what I've seen so far on his choices.
Actually, I see the never Trumpers being the aggressive military personalities, the ones who, even though the left calls everybody a chicken hawk, the never Trumpers I see are the people, sort of the moderate, squishy ones that don't think about putting their kids or other kids in the sand.
Well, it's always somebody else's kid. Let's face it, it's always somebody else's kid. Less, one half of 1% of American citizens ever serve in uniform. It's always somebody else's mission to protect the Constitution and really protect the U.S. so that they can protect everybody from around the world. Trump is absolutely right in terms of making allies carry the weight, too. So I'm 100% behind him on all that. So when we can talk about policies, I'd love to talk about policies and how I align with the president on specific policies.
How do you not align with Sanguinetti? Because before you get to Kasten, you have to win the primary. Sanguinetti, you got, it's like a redo of the primary in a way, right?
Well, so, you know what, so people get to make that choice again. I mean, if you like crony bailouts of corporations, if you like Chicago public schools being bailed out on the backs of suburban taxpayers in the 6th Congressional District, if you like taxpayer funding of abortion, if you like tax increases, quite frankly, and unbalanced budgets, then you're going to love my primary opponent because she cheered on her boss, Governor Rauner, during all of that. Stuck by him, side by side, sanctuary date, lawlessness, you name it, stuck by him. So that is who my primary opponent is. That's who she's aligned himself with. And so we're happy to have that conversation about who do you think best represents the idea that America is a free society and the free enterprise system works because we are a nation governed by laws. And we can't abandon certain laws and enforce other laws. We can't do that. And they certainly proved that they're willing to do that under the Rauner administration.
Well, will Rauner give her money to run? Has he already?
Well, from her filings, he and his wife, gave the federal max out that they could personally. It doesn't matter, honestly. Look, in the 6th Congressional District, we beat the Rauner campaign during the primary.
Oh, I'm going to look at those numbers. And so how are the property tax issue the big issue out there? locally?
Oh, property taxes are a huge issue, and you know, Rauner and the Sanguinetti team failed to address that issue. But you know, this is a federal election, and essentially the question we need to call the question: do you think that you should export big government Chicago style policies to the federal government? Because if you do that, then you're essentially going to, you know, we're the worst run state in the nation, and you're just going to make us the country less well off if you take on those same policies. And that's exactly who Sean Capmann is. He's a big government socialist.
Now this,
and, you know, it doesn't sell well at all here.
There's stuff that in his past that he said that sounds really crazy, okay? If I'm not mistaken, he said some wacky things comparing the president to... he just played that, you know, that hard left Gang of Four game. By the way, Dan Proft calls them the Social Spice Girls. I call them the Gang of Four, which I think is more accurate, right?
And it's I like both of those compared to calling them anything related to a squad, because the squad has a military connotation, so... either one of the other ones is good, but the name calling, I really don't get into the name calling, honestly.
Right.
It's just so dumb and unproductive for the most part. You don't have to go there. But if you want to talk about name calling, it was Sean Kasten who compared our president to Osama bin Laden. That's outrageous. And it was Sean Kasten who said that, you know, when asked if for a leader that he looked up to, mentioned, you know, the bigot, Dan Savage, who had said, Christians are nothing more than a piece of the S word, and said that every single Republican should be effing dead. And you know, and yet this is who Sean Kasten says he looks up to. So, and he never disavowed any of those comments made by the person that he picked out as somebody he admires. He said he admires them. And so, you know, I'm not into name calling. I don't do that. I never did a state rep. I look at the policy, and I think most people understand that about me.
I'll just do some name calling, and I will title Jeannie Ives a certified badass, just for your military career. Certified badass, and of course, just serving the country. A lot of our politics don't probably line up, but that doesn't mean anything to me.
But mine do.
But yours do, and that's why we do the podcast. So Jeannie Ives, thanks so much for joining us. I know it's a long slog before you get to the finish line, and we hope to connect with you again.
Well, thank you. Thanks so much for having me on.
For Jeannie Ives, running in the 6th Congressional District, Republican, U.S. Army officer retired, mom of two soldiers, and for Sheila O'Brien, retired judge, whose Step Up Chicago campaign, I think it's something I could get behind. For Jeff Carlin, executive producer of The Rokan Show with Anna DeVolantis, and for me, John Cass, husband, father, columnist of the Chicago Tribune for as long as I can keep my job there. I hope you subscribe and tell them why. You know, I want to thank you all again. I keep insisting, find us on iTunes, write a killer review for us. And so many of you have done, and next time we come on the Chicago Way, I'm going to read some of those reviews if that's okay with you guys, because they're just so good, especially when you're a lonely conservative in a sea of liberal milk on a sugar cookie that's crumbling all around you. So join us again for another edition of the Chicago Way on WGN+.